Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 222. That's 222. My name is Chris Fricchio. I am here with Mr. Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
And that sensual voice, Travis Baum.
I just can't get over the fact that Jeff has not played Mass Effect yet.
Spoilers!
All right, so we're going to do something a little different today. We forgot to post the question of the week on Retroids, so we're actually going to do kind of a short show, and we're going to do the same question of the week that we talked about last week on the show. We're going to do that next week, and I'm going to actually post the question of the week this time. So we're going to start out with distractions, and we're going to take a break. We'll come back and do news, new releases, and emails, and then we will repeat the question of the week. So that's how it's going to go tonight. A little bit different, a little bit shorter. We have some, you know, some selfish intentions as well, because, you know, all of us want to play games. But, you know, before we get into games, let's talk about what everybody's doing. Travis, why don't you start? What's going on?
Okay, so like I alluded to earlier, I just don't get it, Jeff. Why are you not playing Mass Effect? I asked that question to ask Chris another question. So what's the statute of limitations where we should say, okay, fuck Jeff and let's do a spoiler show?
Oh, you guys can go ahead and do one without me. That's fine.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think that what'll end up happening is that we could probably get like four of us in a room. Like it would
right.
be you, me, Nate, and John, because John's on the thread too. You know, we can do it without having to deal, you know, having to deal with Skype and that kind of shit too.
And that's so fun for me to be honest, when everyone's in one room and I'm on Skype.
Yeah, I know. It's rough. It's rough on your end, I know. Especially when you're the only one on Skype. It's
exactly.
Even harder that way.
guys! Hello!
Hey,
Travis is racist!
No, I have something to say. It's pertinent to the conversation, I promise.
What if we let you talk first?
No.
No, no.
Okay, no.
And then it's easier to forget about.
I don't want to talk to you fuckers at all. Go away. I'm going to play Street
Fighter. Have your spoiler show. See if I care.
Oh, man.
So anyway, I will say I made a very, very big adult decision in terms of gaming. I'm very proud of myself. After about 4.5 years of having an Xbox 360, I finally decided it would be a smart move to stop buying AA's and get a charge and play kit.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! You finally did that.
Big deal.
Why'd you decide to get the play and charge kit?
In the middle of the night last night, I was playing and I had to resort to stealing or removing
batteries from a remote.
Batteries from like a remote control.
You're searching around the place, like where the fuck are
these
batteries?
The reason I asked that is because
where are my
buzz controllers? The quick charger is actually kind of a better thing.
It's way better. It's better in terms of like it charges the battery better and faster, but. In Travis' situation, that at least will work, because at least you can play right away. You don't have to wait for anything.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and I also got the Microsoft-branded stuff, so it's at least it's a little better than what like Nyko has to offer and everything, because I did some comparisons.
And apparently like, Microsoft did fix the play and charge kit from the first ones that were out. That just
oh, really?
Your battery, yeah.
Oh, that's good, because my experience with the play and charge kit was pretty horrible.
Oh, same here.
Yeah, it was bad.
Well, I will let you guys know. We'll do a post-mortem. On the charge and play kit. On the 2.0 charge and play kit.
On the three batteries that it killed for me.
That'll be just about on par with how late our reviews go up anyway. So
exactly.
Pretty much.
Fine.
So it's a normal
and also
review.
Look forward to our review of Fallout, which will be up in a couple of days.
Yeah. Well, let's be fair. Fallout New Vegas.
Okay.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Oh, we actually do have one for Fallout New Vegas.
We do, actually.
We do. We have one for Fallout New Vegas, yeah. Yeah, but Valkyria Chronicles 2 is coming soon.
Yeah. Same with Mass Effect 2.
That's right.
We just got to get on Jason for that one.
Yeah, that's Jason's baby. So anyway, that's it for me. Jeff, cheer me up, man. I'm in a bad mood right now.
I don't know how to cheer you up. Fuck, the weather here is great, man. It's fucking March, and in you American speak, I'm trying to think of what the temperature-wise was. Here it was like almost like 20 during the day, so like between 18 and 20. So that's like
70s.
I'd say, yeah, it's around 70s or something.
It was
like that.
The same way here. It was actually hot today. I think it was like 76 it got as the high today. Ooh, it was bad. It was moist.
Yeah, it's weird for this time of year, that's for sure. But it still gets cool in nighttime, but during the day, it's pretty awesome. What did I do on the week? Oh, the weekend I had people over to play some Street Fighter Cross Tekken. That was fun. That was the first time I ever had a big gathering for a video game since the release of Vanilla Street Fighter 4.
Oh,
so
wow.
That was kind of cool. Yeah, there's probably about 8 of us. probably crammed into my apartment. We did a couple tournaments, and then I just kind of played fighting games and shit. Because after we did a tournament on that, because we did a tournament. Better Tomorrow came, and he brought those Capcom shot glasses that we ended up never giving away. So that was like the prize. So a buddy of mine ended up winning. He got second place, but because I can't take the prize for winning first, the second place person got it. Second and third place fought it out in the best of five. And my buddy Ogmonster got it by beating a friend of mine who's probably my only local friend who takes fighting games somewhat seriously. Like, he doesn't take them super seriously, but he kind of knows what he's doing. But my buddy mashed his way to victory.
So
to victory.
Jeff. Yeah. So you invited people over to play a game with you that you are extremely, extremely well seasoned at, and just body them in your own house?
Pretty much.
Oh, you dick.
I think that's what they call a dick move.
No,
going to Chris's house and say, Chris, we're playing Madden.
Or Call of Duty. That's even better.
Yeah, one-on-one. But, I mean, what was I supposed to do? It wasn't like I was just, you know, picking, like, main teams and going, you know, got loud. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be like, all right, guys, there's 8 of you here. You guys have fun doing a tournament. I'm going to sit here and, you know, sit in the corner and just chill. So it was all for fun anyway. It wasn't like whatever. But yeah, it was good times. Jeff did okay, but then we actually played Tekken 5 afterwards, and we played about 8 matches, and I think he won 6 of them.
Yeah, so, apparently he's pretty good at that.
He was, he whooped my ass in that, and he's never really played that either. So I guess it just shows that Street Fighter Cross Tekken does not translate into Tekken at all.
No, it really doesn't. It's not at all the same.
No, but yeah, that was good times. That was about it, really. This weekend coming up, I got actually Tanya's sister's getting married, so pretty much booked up all this weekend with that kind of stuff. So that should be fun.
No Street Fighter for you.
You know what sucks about that?
I'll try
you're
to
gonna
fit
be
in when
cause
I
this is a
can.
Whole weekend thing that you guys are gonna be dealing with, like, you know, with rehearsal dinners and receptions and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what the worst part about that for you is gonna be?
Oh, it's gonna be like, when are you guys getting married?
Oh yeah. The pressure's on this weekend.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Are you gonna, like, kind of freak out and just be like, and just do it? Just do it right there?
No.
No? No checkbook opening?
No, just... no checkbook opening, no.
No?
No.
Hmm.
No. I don't have a game plan yet, but I'll figure out something.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, what about you, man?
Oh, man. It's been a very football week, I'm gonna say. So Peyton Manning is apparently viewing the Broncos... to go to after in his free agency.
Mm-hmm.
It's between the Broncos and the Titans apparently right now, and I have a feeling he's going to go to Tennessee though.
They'll know.
It's hard to say because, you know, I mean, from like a fit of you know, where he would fit, you know, mm-hmm. the Broncos have a really good run game. They've got a decent defense. They've got a great offensive line, and they have halfway decent receivers that could catch the ball if he threw it to them. You know, they don't look as good, you know, on paper, because they had Tim Tebow behind him, and Tim Tebow could only throw the ball in the last 5 minutes of the game. But we'll, you know, so we'll see what happens. But I think he's going to go to Tennessee because he went to college in that state.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
He's got family there and that kind of thing.
That makes sense.
And, you know, and he's not in Mile High Stadium where it gets to like below zero during games.
That's true.
So, I really think that, I think that the Broncos are a good fit from a football perspective, but I think from, Peyton Manning and what's best for him kind of thing, like in his life where he is right now.
Yeah,
I mean, he's 14 years into his career. The Titans seems like it's giving him a more enticing offer. So we'll see what happens. I'm interested to see what happens. I would love for him to go to the Broncos, because then my two favorite teams would both have a Manning brother. That would be really cool. But besides that, the Arena League started up with a, fizzle. They apparently almost went on strike on opening night, and opening night was Friday, this past Friday night, where the Orlando Predators faced the Pittsburgh Power, and apparently they said they were going to go on strike, and the owner of the Pittsburgh Power basically fired the entire team.
Oh, wow.
So wait, who played?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, so he offered the majority of the players, not all of them, the majority of them, that they could re-sign under the terms of their original contract if they left the players union.
Okay.
So many of the players left the players union, and then they just had pickup players. They just like had replacement players. And this is a game that was televised on NFL Network.
I was like, really, really looking forward to like a funny little anecdotal story about how like something went over the PA system and said, you, 11 lucky fans, look under your seat. If you see if you see an envelope, you say, send it to the box office because you're in the game.
No, but the apparently it was televised. And, you know, they apparently, like, the announcers didn't even know who the players were. They were like, way to go, 1-7. You know, I mean, that's one of the quotes that I saw. Instead of, like, knowing the player's name, he just said the number that was on the dude's jersey. So, apparently, that was a train wreck. But that ended quickly, luckily, and Saturday resulted in business as usual. And the Force played on Monday, and they won their first game. So that's good. And then they're playing again tomorrow night, and that's going to be televised. So I'm hoping to watch that. But it's been a very football week for me, and it's pretty interesting. I mean, I'm watching NFL.com to see what happens with Peyton Manning, and you know, I've got my year round football now that I'm watching football in the off season. So it's good stuff. I'm enjoying it.
Cool.
Yeah. But I'm also playing video games, and that's what I want to talk about right now. Let's do it. Jeff.
Do it.
Yo.
You're the man. What's distracting you?
Fucking another Street Fighter Cross Tekken. That's literally the only game I touched ever since, like, that game's been out. And a little bit of Tekken 5 we played, and a little bit of SSX, but that was all in the same day.
So now that you've played, you've had Street Fighter Cross Tekken longer, and that you've played Tekken 5,
yeah.
Tell me how it differs. Tell me how some of the Tekken players play.
I honestly can't really tell you that, because I don't know how to play Tekken. Okay. So it's like, I just know that the Tekken players in Street Fighter Cross Tekken have a lot more like block string type stuff and like kind of chain combos, whereas the Street Fighter characters don't really have that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently you can do that stuff in Tekken as well, but the button layout's a little bit different and the different motions and stuff. So I can't really tell you. All I can tell you is you can't simply pick up a Tekken character and then go play in Street Fighter Cross Tekken and go to Tekken and try to play them in Tekken.
No, I would assume not.
It's not even close.
So the one thing I'm curious about, because I heard they did incorporate a lot of Tekken, because, you know, these guys don't have projectiles and stuff like that. So, you know, I there has to be some way to even the battlefield. So is there, like, anything? I mean, of course, they can string combos and they can do some neat little juggles and everything like they can do in Tekken, correct? That in these things that maybe like Street Fighter guys
everyone
can do.
Everyone can do that kind of stuff.
Oh, everyone can. Okay.
Yeah, everyone can do that kind of stuff, yeah.
Okay, so like what in terms of like these Tekken guys, like is there like maybe like a neat little like sidestep animation so if someone throws a projectile they can kind of like
no, not really. Like some characters have something called a misstep, which is basically it goes underneath fireballs.
Okay.
But like I said like last week, like a lot of Street Fighter characters don't have projectiles. It's not like a projectile character has a huge advantage over non-projectile characters, because I mean it just depends on, they just have different tools that'll go through fireballs, or they might like be faster, like jumping to get over them or whatnot. It just depends on how you use the character. But yeah, for the most part, most Tekken characters do have something that can get through fireballs. Mm-hmm. At least the ones that I've used, and I've used quite a bit. Pretty much, I've tried out most of them except for the big honkin' ones like Marduk and like King and like those guys, those big dudes. I don't really like that playstyle. But yeah, it's not really a problem. It's not like, you know, like for some characters, just like in Street Fighter, it's kind of like an uphill battle if you're fighting at someone who is zoning you to hell with fireballs. But this game isn't really meant to be played like that. It's more of like an in-your-face, like kind of rushdown type Street Fighter. So, I mean, yeah, you can zone somebody, but it's going to be boring as hell, and the time's going to run out pretty much every time. So they give you enough tools to get around fireballs. That's for sure. Especially if you're used to playing a non-fireball character.
That seemed to be the biggest worry with people who have played Tekken in the past is that you know, well, how do you deal with projectile characters, because it doesn't play, you know, the characters that are in Tekken don't do anything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm glad to know that they kind of, it seems like from what you're saying, it seems like they kind of almost toned back like how well you can zone. Like, to the point where it's easier to get around them, and that's exactly what you're saying. So,
kind of, yeah. You can still zone the hell out of someone if you know what you're doing, but it's not as, it's just not a good idea. Like, because if someone gets in on you, the damage they're going to do with their regular combos, like bread and butters in this game, like combos that you just do, like, on a normal punish or whatever, are way stronger than they would be in Street Fighter. Like, do a lot more damage. So, you're probably not in your best interest to zone somebody, especially if you're just trying to, like, wear down the clock. But, I don't know. Like I said, I mean, one of the top tier players in Street Fighter is Rufus, and he doesn't have a fireball. So, I mean, and Balrog's up there too, he doesn't have a fireball. Like, they have like, and Balrog have stuff like a turn punch that'll go through fireballs, and that's kind of the stuff that Tekken characters would have.
Okay.
They have a move that if you can read it, we'll just go right. Like Law. Okay, you know Law. You all know who Law is in Tekken, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. You know how he has that jumping dragon kick there and kind of goes like, wah! Like yeah. He goes like cross screen kind of thing? That goes through fireballs.
Oh, nice.
So if you know someone's going to throw a fireball, you put that out and you're going to kick him right in the face.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Okay.
Yeah. It's cool. But it's, oh man, the online, I'm not sure if it's gotten better since launch or everyone's getting used to it. Because stuff that we couldn't pull off on release day or like release first couple days, people are pulling off now. I can pull off stuff that I can do online now online. So I'm not sure if they've actually improved it or if it's just everyone's adapting to it. But either way, it runs really, really smooth outside of the whole sound glitch. That's still there. And that still happens. Hmm. And it's kind of up in the air whether or not Capcom's going to fix it. They said they will look into it, but they say that if they do it, it might... Yeah, they said, you know, we could do that,
but we might have to take away from other things.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's a sacrifice, and, blah, blah, blah.
And to be honest, at this point, I really don't care if they don't fix it, because at first it really bothered me, but after a while, you totally forget about it. Hmm. Like, you're just too busy concentrating on the fight to even really notice.
Okay.
But I'm having so much fun with it. Like, the group of us that play fighting games are loving it. I mean, we pretty much joke around about every fighting game that comes out saying it's the new truth. Like, it's going to be the replacement for Street Fighter 4, and nothing has ever done that. But I really think this could be the game. It's been out for a week and a bit now, and it's still, everyone's in it really hardcore, and it just doesn't have that fuck this game feeling that Marvel vs. Capcom had early.
And yeah, I getcha.
The same kind of thing that Blaze Blue had, where it was kind of fuck this game, and also every character plays so much differently. It's not like you can just pick a new character and kind of learn them quick in Blaze Blue. It was kind of like you really had to study hard. Whereas this is kind of, I don't know, I have a drive to learn different characters, not because they're easier to use, just because they are more accessible in terms of learning them. If you know basic stuff, you can do okay.
You need to tell me about King. I want to know.
I'm the wrong person to ask about King, dude. I used him once in a random match, and that was about it.
Okay, well.
I know he's got a really sick tag and combo where you just need a person like four times in the air, like juggling, and then you end it with like this crazy throw. That's about all I know with King.
All right. People play in this game. I want to know about King. Tell me. Because my dream team in this game is Abel and King, and I really want to know.
Yeah, he looks cool. Decent. No one in our core group of fighting game fans are using him. So.
See, the thing is that I really, really want to play this game. It's just that I know that I don't have time to play it.
Yeah, well, that could be it. Well, it's hard to balance two games. That's why I haven't touched Mass Effect 3, is basically because every second I get, I'm literally playing that game. And I do have Monday off, so Monday is going to be my Mass Effect day. That's when I'm going to bust that shit open and play that thing.
Oh, man, you're going to love it. It's so good.
I can't wait. I am looking forward to it.
It's really good.
But, oh, man, Street Fighter Cross Tekken. So I wish I actually messaged Jason really quick. It was probably a few hours, probably about an hour before I left work, to see if you want to jump on the show tonight for a bit to talk about Street Fighter Cross Tekken, because you guys haven't played it yet, to get a little back and forth conversation, but I think he's actually having a nap. So that didn't quite work out, but yeah, loving it. And man, I will say this, like, I would not, like, I know it's kind of early for, like, Game of the Year type talk, but fucking, this is right now right at the top of my list. It's so good. So fucking good. I'm gonna get it.
I'll probably end up getting the PS3 version, because I've actually heard that the online's a little better.
I don't know. It depends how you look at it. Like, I have it on both. So I've been playing both, and I don't see any difference in online in terms of actual, like, lag or connection issues. Mm-hmm. Actually, one thing that happens on PS3 that I've never experienced on 360 is, sometimes on PS3, when you're matched up with somebody and it goes to start the fight, it freezes.
Hmm.
And then it'll go back to the lobby. And this is weird because, Pigpen, I can always connect with him, but then I couldn't connect to his brother. And then the other night, I was playing with both of them. When I was fighting Pigpen, I had no problem fighting and connecting. When I fought his brother, who, by the way, is in the same house, he's in the same internet connection, just different PS3, it would always freeze on us every single time. We couldn't do it.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. But then he installed the game and hardwired his PS3, and now we can connect to each other, no problem.
Huh.
So, and same problem, like, I mean, but we thought, okay, it was definitely an install issue, but Blue Steel has the same problem with Pigpen. So, it's really friggin' weird. So, like, if Pigpen, Blue Steel, and myself are in a room, I have to host it. I'm kind of like the middleman between those two so they can actually fight each other, because if one of those two hosts it, they can't have a match. Oh, and they both have it installed, and I think they're both hardwired. So there's something weird going on with it. I don't know what it is, but hopefully they can patch something in. But there's ways around it right now.
Is it four or six buttons?
It's six.
It is six. Okay, that's what
it is. Six, but it's the exact same layout as
Street
Fighter. Yeah.
Okay.
But and the only other thing I can say is the rank match on PS3 I find takes a little bit longer, and it matches you up with people kind of all over the place. Like you'll fight somebody around your skill one match, and then a match later, let's say you have, I don't know, 500 battle points, you'll be fighting someone with like 2,500 battle points.
Oh wow!
And I found in 360, I'm not sure if it's because there's more people right now, or this is more people playing.
That
ranked.
Might be it.
It kind of has, yeah. There's more of a window there. You'll fight within a couple hundred of your thing.
Usually. You have like a better sample of players out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably it.
I do gotta say though, one awesome thing they did with ranked is you can play with a partner rank match, and it's not just like you do a mode like, okay, 2v2 rank match. You just do a regular rank match, you can call in a partner and fight against one person, fight against two people, whoever it matches you up with. So me and Anatek tried that the other night, and I also did it with Harlock the night before on 360, and that's a lot of fun. It's just awesome. So you
cool.
can be like 2-on-1, 2-on-2. It's really awesome. It makes rank matches a lot less stress inducing and a lot more exciting, to be honest. Which
nice.
Is kind of
that's
weird.
Very cool.
But yeah, it's good shit. You guys need to play it.
Yeah, I'll have to get it eventually.
Cool. That's it for me, man. That is literally all I played.
Travis?
You and I basically played the same thing, man.
All right, well, let me start before we get into that.
Go ahead.
So I beat Uncharted on Vita. I did enjoy it. It kind of seems like it's like from an Uncharted quality perspective, it's somewhere between like 1 and 2. Does that make sense? So it's you know it looks and plays better than 1, but not quite as good as 2.
Yeah, you can definitely tell the like. As big as Uncharted can get, like they did the best they can with where the technology's at right now. Because you know they did some really impressive stuff with Uncharted 2 and 3 with like the whole concept of the moving level while you're playing it.
Yeah.
And there's just no way the Vita can run. Maybe it can, but like
here's my comment on that. Look at what Uncharted was. Uncharted 1. Mm-hmm. Look how long they had to develop that because it didn't come out until like a year or so after launch.
Right.
And then look how much they learned and how much better Uncharted 2 was.
Very true.
This was a Vita launch game.
That's true. Yeah.
Now think about how much more they will be able to do a year or 2 years down the line with the Vita.
Right.
Yeah. It is very possible that they could get pretty close to Uncharted 2 quality gameplay there. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm interested. I will say this. I thought that some of the shit was very archaic because it went back to some of the control pieces of Uncharted 1 with like quick time events as in fights.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. Those, I wanted to throw my Vita across the
room. I hated them. I hated them.
Because, yeah, so basically toward the end, like all your boss fights, all the quote unquote boss fights, they're touchscreen
quick time
QTEs.
Events.
Yes. Yeah. Basically, yeah. And
you have to swipe a certain direction on the screen in order to dodge a punch or to throw a punch or something like that. And
you lose, like some of these like can be like one hit kills, like you're done. Like you miss it, you can go, you know, five, like, cause what happens is they all start off when you're doing them, they all start off with, they show on the bottom of the screen that you have the opportunity to mess up 3 times before it's game over. All right. Mm-hmm. But then once you pass that moment where there's no more, you know, 3 strikes and you're out, the QTEs still go on. You miss it one time, and you've been in this thing for like 2 minutes. You're ready for it to end. And then once that opportunity to, even if you get it perfectly with no strikes, and then that stops, but the QTE keeps on going, you miss one time, game over. And you're back at the checkpoint. And there's no forgiving checkpoints. You start back all the way at the beginning of the QTE. And it's long. So, I mean, it's really, really frustrating. Especially the last one. It was very frustrating.
See, the last one isn't the one that got me. It was the one before it. See, I actually got the last one on the first try. The one before it bothered me. And the thing about it is that I've noticed that, like, the swiping on this game doesn't always register the first time.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
So you have to do it several times to get it to work sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that really bugged me is the fucking tilt thing when you're walking across, like, a plank or something like that. It's like they got rid of that in Uncharted 1 for a reason. Just leave it out. And I know that they're trying to throw everything in because Sony said, you know, do your best to get everything in there, but it's just not necessary. Just don't do it. And, you know, so those two things, and then the horrible, horrible checkpoints. Like, if you can't quit, at least I couldn't figure out a way, you can't quit in the middle of a chapter, because if you come back and restart, you start at the beginning of the chapter, period.
Right.
You cannot. There's no checkpoints in between.
That is terrible. Now, terrible design for a portable.
I agree. And the thing is that what really sucks is that if you die, you go back to a checkpoint. It's like you don't go back to the start of the chapter. Why can't they just use the same checkpoint?
Right. I mean, that means standby mode works just as well as anything else.
Yeah, I mean standby mode does work, but you know, if you want to turn this system off and play a different game, you've got to get to the next chapter first.
Yeah. I can definitely see Ben Studios saying that, well, they can just go into standby if they want to stop playing right now and continue later. I can definitely see that as a reasoning for them not to have better checkpoints for just, you know, stopping where you're at.
So basically they're lazy.
I agree.
Reasoning or not, I think that is terrible.
Because,
terrible idea.
You know, I might not want to just stop playing all games. I might want to just change games.
Or you might want to save battery and just turn off your system and not just put it on standby. I mean, I don't know how the battery, how long it, like, I don't know how it eats.
It holds up pretty well. It holds up better on standby mode than the 3DS does, that's for sure.
No, I'm sure it does.
Chris, before we get into other games and everything, I know I was supposed to go first before you, but there was something I did completely forget.
Okay.
I swore I wasn't going to buy this because it was like 15 bucks for something that I hear is only a couple hours long. There's no way I'm going to buy it.
Oh, I Am Alive?
No, not at all. But I picked up Journey.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
No, hold on.
Didn't you talk about this last week?
He didn't. We kind of touched on it, but it may have come off as bashing, and it was more of just a joke. I have heard that Journey is fucking awesome.
No, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It is incredible. Yeah. Like, you know, I was on a podcast around the time when Flower was just coming out, and I think Flower was bash-worthy. It did some really good things in terms of, like, kind of like investing you into what they're just trying to like tell you about, you know, nature and what industry can do to nature and, you know, how nature can overcome and yada, yada, yada.
Blah, blah, blah,
and in
blah,
the
blah,
end,
blah.
I thought Flower was just, it was okay.
It's a tech demo.
Yeah, basically. Journey is completely different. I thought it was 100% amazing. Like after it was said and done, all you do is just sit back and reflect. You know, it's one of those things where, you know how some games will like, you know what, we're not going to tell you an exact story, but we're going to let you draw your own conclusions. It's like, if for some odd reason, you almost don't need to draw your own conclusions because the journey itself from beginning to end is completely satisfying. You know, later on you want to talk about, okay, this is what I think happened, this is what it is, but it's where some games are so artistic, it's like, you know, you think what you want to think. It's like, they kind of like present it to you in such a fashion to where you are completely satisfied and just, you know, happy with what they gave you. So I played it the first time. Like I said, loved it. Had a lot to think about. And then I went to Megan and I was like, Megan, why don't you try this out? Just, you know, give it a little shot and everything. And she's like, all right, a little reluctant and everything. She doesn't like when I push video games onto her. But she was reluctant at first, and not even 5 minutes in, she was taken primarily by the visuals. The game is gorgeous looking. They do some really cool things with elements, sand and snow. Just, they did a really good job at that. You know, from footsteps to walking in the sand to, doing what I guess you can describe as communication, which is like sending out these like sonar pulses that also leaves waves in the sand. And it looks really good when you do that. Not to mention lighting effects as well are fantastic. So Megan's, 5 minutes in, she's completely invested because, you know, graphically it got her right at the beginning, but then, you know, 5 minutes into it, she wants to know what's going on. She wants to know, you know, you're given your destination from the get-go, and she wants to get there. And that's the feeling that it gets you. So she plays straight through it, and, you know, she was like, well, I don't know how long I'm going to play. And then next thing you know, it's 2.5 hours later, and now we're sitting down and we're talking about what she just experienced. And, you know, even on Twitter, like the whole day afterwards, you know, 24 hours later, she's tweeting, all I can think about is Journey. You know, it's a game that invokes, you know, not just, basic emotions like happiness or wonder. I mean, it was just, you know, it's almost on a spiritual level, and I'm not a very spiritual person, but you begin to think on a spiritual level, like, you know, friendship, companionship, the important things in life, that, you know, we're constantly, you know, so driveled with, you know, physical possessions And, you know, what am I going to do tonight? Or what's it? All the, you know, all these things seem so petty and trivial. And then when you play Journey, it puts things in retrospect. Like, you know, we're all on a personal journey, and the important things are, you know, the people you do things with. And that's where that, you know, that multiplayer in Journey, which I didn't even know it had multiplayer. And it's really, really interesting because of the fact that, you know, there's no, you know, handle or tag on, above their name saying who it is. The person looks exactly like you. There's no different, except for a symbol that's on their chest is different than yours. So you have no clue who this person is. You don't know, you know, what kind of games. You don't know anything about them. You can't, you know, go to the cross-media bar and see who you're playing with. There's nothing like that. There's no voice chat. All you know that there's another human on the other side of this character that is on this journey with you. And you're, you know, you have a common goal. Get to this place. And you find yourself doing some really, really interesting things that I've never seen a game come close to doing. You know, like I said earlier, you have these, like, these pulses, these sonar type pulses, and you can hold it down for a big one, or you can tap it for, like, these little small, like, musical tones. You know, you'll be going around playing the game. Like, again, for instance, with Megan, her and her character were in danger. And the next thing you know, like, you know, well, before that, you know, they're walking around, and when Megan needs to get that person's attention, she'll just, you know, hit the communicate button a little bit, and you'll just hear, boom, 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 and the other person will respond back, boom, 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 boom. Like, they just start communicating without saying a single word, just using these tones. Like, and it's odd how you really get what the other person is wanting you to do. You know, fast forward another, like, half an hour later,
which one is
danger.
The curse one? How do you know when they're cursing at you and calling you a they, homo?
Well, you can probably get that and everything. You know, there's a situation where they're in danger, and the next thing you know, like, you see both of them, it's like mashing on the talk button while they're running for their life. I mean, it's just funny, like, just to see these people communicating. They're not saying words. They're not saying phrases. They're just talking to each other. And
I like
somehow,
that. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, somehow you just get it, and it's really good.
That's why I want to get this game while people are still playing it online, because I want to have that experience, right? I want to be able to meet somebody along the way.
Yeah, and I was fortunate enough.
I
want to
go blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, at the end of the game, it does tell you the people that you've met, and Megan met about 5 or 6 people. Mm-hmm. I felt in my game I was fortunate enough. I met someone right at the beginning, and then they quit the game. Right, like maybe like 2 minutes into us playing, and then I immediately, you know, came into another journeyman, and then we played, and we played from probably 10% into the game for the entire game, and I feel that
that's cool.
Really made my experience a lot stronger because you know, at the end it told me that I played with 2 people and this one person was. You know, I share the majority of the journey with, and from beginning to end, it's totally. I mean, that person literally sent me a random friend request and a message saying that was one of the most coolest things I've ever done.
That's cool.
And I sent a message back to him and said, "You know what? I agree, and I don't even know who you are." And it was just really cool that stuff can kind of happen. So
that is really cool. So it does tell you after the fact, like, who you played with, like their
at the end, it'll tell you.
Okay,
that's an interesting way to do multiplayer.
Yeah, it's similar to Demon's Souls, but it's not someone coming in there to kill your ass.
Right.
Exactly. Right? Like, yeah, it's all about having that person with you. Because, like I said, if this game it was just you by yourself, it would be captivating to a point.
Yeah. But it's as another level, kind of.
But it would just be almost pointless unless you met somebody. And you don't realize how pointless that would be unless you actually played this game to the end and you actually experience, you know, having this person at your side.
And it's only like 2 hours, right? An hour and a half?
It's about 2 hours. Yeah, it's about 2 hours. But
everyone I said to, I know talked to who's played it says play through it in one sitting. Don't divide it up.
Yes, you have to play through it in one sitting. I think you're missing out if you don't. And I mean, I've played through it twice and got the same reaction out of both playthroughs. And I've sat down and watched Megan play through it, and still had a great more or less
it
was just watching her. $15, man.
$15.
It's a high price tag for a game. I mean, when you consider, you know, everybody, you know, does the ratio of, you know, money to time played.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is one of those games.
I don't necessarily believe that. I mean, Limbo was short, but I fucking love that game.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
So I mean, this is definitely one of those games where forget about the time. It's about that experience.
I'm gonna download it today.
It's awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So that was it. So you know the other thing I've been playing. So continue. All right,
talk about Mass Effect.
Yeah, the only other thing that I've played is Hot Shots Golf. I fucking love that game. I can't believe this is the first one I played. I'm surprised.
Yeah,
I can't
believe that either.
I keep on almost buying it. Like I get so close.
It's good, dude. It's fun. But I'll tell you what, there are some times when I'm just like, must resist urge to throw $300 piece of equipment across room. You know, it can get pretty frustrating because the courses are just laid out bad. I mean, it's like you hit a nice drive down the fairway and it hits the fairway and all of a sudden it's going downhill into a bunker. It's like, thank you very much.
I bet there's
it's called golf.
I bet there's some fun greens on that game later on.
Yeah, I still don't understand how to putt. I still don't know what the hell's going on with that grid. But whatever. But yeah, so I don't really have, I'm not sure what I can say about Mass Effect 3 without spoiling anything besides the fact that I now want to go back and finish my Renegade playthrough on Mass Effect 2 just so I can import that character into Mass Effect 3.
Yeah. Okay, can I... let me... This is something I don't get about Mass Effect, like a lot of Mass Effect players, and I hear this all the time. I hear about people wanting to do a Paragon run or a Renegade run. Like, I don't understand the concept of that.
Neither
because,
do I. I don't,
because, like, if you're saying that... Everybody says, my shepherd. This is my shepherd. But if you're doing a Paragon run...
That's not your shepherd.
That's not your shepherd. Like,
well, that's the thing. It's like, my shepherd is mostly a Paragon run. I have done some Renegade things in it, but the majority of it is a Paragon run. Like, I got... there was one of the story missions the other day... That I did yesterday, actually, you know, there was a specific plan that was laid out, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody went against that plan. And when they explained themselves,
you reamed them out.
When they had explained themselves, I had the choice of saying, I understand, or saying, you're a fucking idiot. And I said, you're a fucking idiot. So, you know, I am playing him as I would make the choices, but it's, you know, but most of those choices are Paragon anyway. My Renegade run is just straight up, I'm a bitch, I'm going to do this, and, you know, oh, you don't like what I'm saying? I'm going to deck you in the fucking face. That's what I'm going to do. So
I don't know if they fix this for 3, if you guys have seen this, but, like, I don't... Well, maybe Travis, because you've beaten the game twice already. But what I didn't like about Mass Effect 2...
Yeah, holy shit.
what I didn't like about Mass Effect 2 was, if you weren't full-on Paragon or Renegade, or at least close to it, it didn't open up certain dialogue options one way or the other. If you were like kind of neutral, like mine was, I was kind of like Chris, mostly Paragon, but I was like a dick when I thought it was needed to be a dick, or when I figured certain people should be eliminated, I eliminated them. But it never got me too high or too low on each of those scales. So when it came to parts where, for instance, we're past statute of limitations on 2 for sure. There's a part where there's an argument between Jack and Miranda.
Right.
And there's a way that you can kind of side with either one of them and kind of have both of them still kind of like you. But I didn't have the option for either of those just because at that time in the game, I didn't have my Paragon or Renegade high enough.
Right.
And that pissed me off. I was like, oh, come on. Just because I didn't play one way or the other means I can't do one of those things.
Yeah, that's there. I think there are more options this time around because they really throw like these really, really, like tons of really minor side, like fetch quests.
Yeah.
At you at this time around, and it all nets you like Paragon points. Now, the one thing I did notice though, going through my main run, I was probably around 70-30, more 75-25 Paragon more. But I noticed that going into this game, it did not give me a Renegade option that I couldn't do. Like, it is, even though I'm like almost fully Paragon.
Too.
Even though I'm fully Paragon, I can make any Renegade remark.
Yeah,
that they give.
Like I could do that too.
They probably want to tempt you. That's probably why.
Might be.
Like, hey, this person's an asshole. You know
exactly.
It.
But I see. That's what I don't agree
with.
I'll
tell you one thing, man. I had an opportunity to take take someone out with a Renegade option. I fucking did it.
Nice.
I'm not gonna say who or when.
Don't. I will punch you through this internet.
Chris,
after
I did it. I did it too. I think I know exactly what you're talking about, and I will say I did it too. Because I don't know, it's all about the greater good.
All about the greater good. That's
it's
right.
All about the greater good, man. And that was a hard decision to make, but you got to think
it
about
wasn't
the universe,
for me.
I guess.
It wasn't for me. If we are talking about the same one, it wasn't for me.
Yep.
It was like, oh, look, Renegade, ping. Oh, you're dead. How about that?
Yeah, that sucks. So,
but yeah, I really don't have much else to say about it. I mean,
we did play some multiplayer.
We did play some multiplayer.
Yeah, how is that?
It's Horde mode on Gears of War, except you get to use Mass Effect powers, which makes it
that's
really
cool,
fucking fun.
I'm not going to lie, I had a blast.
I did too. I had a fucking blast. And
it's just Horde
and
mode,
I
though.
Could tell that Travis started having more fun when he picked his adept character. He picked a Drell adept that you can get.
Yeah.
And he picked that character, and I was using a Sentinel, and we started doing like the lift push combo, which results in a biotic detonation.
Oh,
and
that's the greatest.
Every time it went off, it was like you would just hear this like poosh, and it was satisfying as hell.
Yeah. It was
you just
really
saw
cool.
shit go flying. It was awesome.
And I gotta tell you, because I'm a soldier in Mass Effect. Every time, like I just want to go and I want to run through shit with my guns. Yeah. And this is the first time that night. You know, this 2 nights ago was my first time not playing a soldier.
Oh, wow.
And I immediately fell in love with playing as a different class.
Yes.
And on top of that, it's a Drell, so it's kind of like Thane. You know, he doesn't have the normal dodge rolls like a Turian or a human has. Motherfucker does cartwheels.
That's badass.
And like no-handed cartwheels, and his melee is like, you know, these like karate kicks and shit like that, and it's awesome. It's really refreshing to play. That's why I'm really excited to like unlock Krogan and everything, because I really want to play as these characters, because you're so used to playing Shepard that you kind of get desensitized playing this engine as a human. But when you jump into another race, it's awesome. You can ask Chris. Like, I was just running around doing cartwheels
giddy.
The entire time. I was like, guys, look at me. Look
giddy,
look at me.
He was fucking giddy. He's like, watch this melee attack. Watch it. Oh my God, it's awesome.
I legitimately had a great time, and you know, as much as I still feel the same way as we did last week about how I'm complaining how it is unfair, I don't care what BioWare says,
unfair,
you have
yeah.
to do that multiplayer in your first playthrough. Yeah. You have to. I don't care what they say. It's got to be done.
Is it three or four people online?
It's four people online.
Four people.
And it was me, Travis, Glenn, and my buddy Zach.
Yeah.
And we were having a freaking blast. We ran four missions, and the first mission was pretty pathetic. We only got to like wave three, but we made it to wave 10 on one of them, and then they just sent out like everything, and it was like,
mechs,
oh my God,
like everything,
and they just like ran over us. But out of those four games, we got an increase of 9% galactic readiness. So that's,
which, I mean, isn't bad. And we'd never really completed a full, you know, a full match.
Yeah,
we didn't finish
the actual 10th wave of anything, and there's only 10 waves. So I'm sure that if you actually finish it, you get much more than that.
There are actually
the most we ever
waves.
Got was like 4%.
There are actually 11 waves, because after the 10th wave, you have to get to an extraction point, and you have to defend that extraction point for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Oh my God.
That's actually, it's one of the more fun things you can do, because I've completed twice now, but you automatically bump up about 5-6% just for completing a wave, and the experience and the money, the credits you get for completing, you know, a full mission is, whew, it's insane.
Nice.
So that's why I was so mad that we got so close on that one run.
Yeah, and I got stepped on by an Atlas.
Yeah.
Because they'll come over, and you can like revive other players, but if someone you like have to tap the button to try and stay alive, and like otherwise you bleed out, or an enemy can come over and stomp you, and fucking Atlas, awesome. Which is this huge like Cerberus mech, walked over and fucking stomped my head.
Sounds like Gears.
Yeah, and you know my the only reaction I had was. Ow, my pride.
and it was like I said, like I'm not indifferent. I feel the same way as I did last week. I still think it's messed up that you have to play the multiplayer to really have a shot at getting the really good ending.
Well,
especially considering some people don't even have online connections or Xbox Live.
Well,
it's
possible.
The thing. It's like it really depends, because I've heard of people doing it. I have heard
it's,
of people
like,
doing
it's
it.
Possible,
but is it ridiculous?
You have to
do everything.
You have to be
see that's
on
not
point.
To do everything.
And that's messed up. The good thing is, at least the multiplayer is fun. So if you have online, you have Xbox Live. And worst case scenario, look, you can get it up. I mean, you can get, you know, a good galactic readiness just with the 2-day pass that they give you for Xbox Live.
True enough.
Yeah. So you can plug that in, get your 2-day pass, and not even have to worry about getting an Xbox Live, and just you can jump up 15-20% in 2 days. It's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is that you're now on a time limit before it goes back down. We were at 9. I was at 9% on Tuesday. Yesterday I was at 8, and today I'm at 7.
Oh yeah, because weren't we talking about that last week? That if you don't keep playing, it
degrades.
It goes down.
Yeah, it degrades. It's kind of shit. It's kind of shit. I don't like that at all.
I wonder if they'll change that, because I wonder if they'll, like, because people complained about the planet scanning in 2, so they changed the speed of it like twice. So I wonder if they'll actually just change.
Apparently, aside from the middle of the game, BioWare has to change everything. Yeah. So, I mean, if you look at the internet as a whole, apparently they have to change
the beginning, change the end.
Yeah, it's kind of bullshit.
Yeah, well, actually, like, to give you an idea about the whole galactic readiness degradation thing, it's like I was talking to MC Wilson, or was it Repeat? It was Repeat, I'm sorry. I was talking to Repeat. And Repeat goes, he told me that he was at 100% readiness. Went on the final set of missions, and by the time he finished the game, it was back down to 99.
Okay.
A whole 99?
Wow. Well, that's only one. You have to have 100% to actually get it.
But the point is how quickly it degrades once you get it to 100.
Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous. Like, where I am.
So, what, like, it's the readiness, right? What is it? Is it like one faction kind of like, we're ready, you know what?
Well, the way it works is that you build up a military strength. And your military, the effective strength of the military strength is based on that galactic readiness percentage. So if you have like 4,000 points and you have a 50% readiness, effective strength is 2,000.
Yeah, it cuts it in half basically.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's how it works. But it's still fun. I had a great time.
And, I love it. Yeah,
I feel like I'm getting pretty close to beating the game. So I'm hoping that next week I'll be able to talk about it more, and hopefully we'll be able to do a spoiler show relatively soon.
Coolio. I'm going to play it on Monday. It's dedicated Mass Effect 3 day.
Nice. Good deal.
Yep.
I'm done.
News.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break first. We're going
to
come back.
You didn't have to say that. We can just come back and magic of the internet be like, and we're going to do some news.
And we're going to do some news. Now we'll just take a real break.
All right.
And we're going to do we'll do news, new releases, and listener email, and the question of the week when we get back. So
stay
with us, and we'll be right back.
Yeah. It's time to wake up.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
All right, let's do some news.
Yeah.
This is a very unusual beginning of the second part.
I was just going to say, I'm like, we probably already did news, but no, we totally didn't do news.
Totally didn't do news. All right, so let's start with the big one. I think we're going to talk about this one quite a bit.
Yeah.
So Obsidian apparently missed their Metacritic mark for Fallout New Vegas.
So they didn't get their bonus?
They didn't get their bonus, and a bunch of people got laid off.
Wow.
Apparently. This is kind of crap, if you ask me. I mean, I think we had a little rant about this on Twitter today, and it's just like Metacritic is destroying, like, what it is to be a part of this industry, it seems. It's like they're trying to do it.
Well, the actual problem is, Chris, is we didn't get our review of New Vegas up in time.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think that's exactly.
Yeah, it just came out last week. So
what did Nate give it?
I think it wasn't Nate.
Right?
I think it was Chance, and Chance gave it 4 stars. So we would have just
brought
it down.
I think that might have pushed him over the edge. I don't know. Four
no,
is pretty good.
Brought him down because 4 stars is considered Nate-y.
That's pretty good.
That's good, right?
What was their goal for that game?
Oh, it was an 85.
Yeah. Oh shit.
So.
See, this is why I kind of don't blame Metacritic for that. Like it. 85 is a good game.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a
great game. That's technically in the green when you go on their scale.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I don't see Metacritic being an issue. How about the issue that people have already played 250 hours worth of Fallout 3 and all the DLC, and by the time New Vegas came out, no one wanted to play that much anymore? Because I'll be honest with you, that's what happened to me. As much as I love, you know, the Fallout gameplay, I just couldn't play it anymore. Like, yeah. I put 5 hours into it. I'm like, I just can't do this. Like, I physically can't, you know? So I can't blame Metacritic on that. And I understand Metacritic has its opportunities. Like, the rating system is borked and everything. But just to put I personally don't see the reasoning behind the comment of it's ruining the game industry. So, I mean, why is it ruining the game? Like,
I think it's ruining it because it's making everybody look at a score of a game, and this is a collective score of every review that gets on Metacritic's database. Exactly.
Right.
No one reads them. They see the score. And the thing is, the problem is, reviewing a game is a very, very subjective thing. So it's not like someone giving a game a 10 or someone giving the same game a 5 isn't necessarily a direct. Like, okay, if developers are going to say the quality of the game, if Metacritic, like, did the quality of the game and that's it, like, in terms of, like, glitches, graphical fidelity, sound, like, what it does, like, innovative, whatever, that's a little bit different. But it's not doing that. It's just basically taking all the reviews, putting them all together in an average score, and that's not fair. Because a game that you like, I might fucking hate, and if we were both reviewing the same game, would totally be different scores for different reasons.
The way they do the averages, especially with things like... with, like, say, 1UP scores, because 1UP uses letter grades, they like, just assign a letter grade, a number,
and
stick it out there.
Yeah.
You
that's what I don't like.
It doesn't really count for anything.
Yeah, like a 5. Like, our scale on Metacritic would be 100%, which I don't think would be, like, a perfect score, which I don't think, and we'd all probably agree that a 5 out of 5 is not a perfect game. It's just a game that everybody should, like, everyone should at least give a chance, because it's really good.
Right.
And that's what's not fair. To those sites that, like, okay, well, like, anything in a 5 scale or a letter grade is just ridiculous. But, there's a problem, like you said, Chris, no one reads reviews anymore. Now, people who had a problem for, like, years just looking at a score, now they don't even just look at a score or go to the sites, they go to Metacritic and just see what the aggregate is. It's like Rotten Tomatoes for movies. They just go to Rotten Tomatoes and be like, oh, this is a 66. So that's, you know, not too bad. Well, Rotten Tomatoes, that wouldn't be too bad. But they could see a video game with, like, a 6677. They're like, oh, not going to buy it. Boom. And then I guess developers are like, well, if you don't get a certain Metacritic score, then, you know, we're not going to have this much sales. But I think it's bullshit. I'm pretty sure New Vegas sold okay.
I'm pretty sure it did, too. And I want to clear something up. There's no evidence saying that the layoffs at Obsidian had anything to do with the New Vegas Metacritic score.
I mean, it's money.
Then why are we talking about this?
No, it was the fact that they said that they would do bonuses. They would give out bonuses if Metacritic hit 85, and it had an 84. So nobody got their bonuses.
Whatever happened to fucking getting bonuses for doing good work and having something sell really well? Like,
exactly.
I can understand.
I don't understand the reasoning.
Like,
and I'm actually very curious to know how that sold now.
Especially with games, there's no direct relation to good reviews and the games that sell. Like, you can look at a game like Shadow of the Colossus that had really good review scores. Well, it has a great Metacritic score, didn't sell that well. But then you'll have a game that's meh, not that great Metacritic score, but because it's really popular, it's got a movie coming out, it sells really well. So there's not any direct correlation there at all. It's like they're totally not even related. So right. I don't even understand why publisher developers would even look at Metacritic for something like that.
Yeah, it's kind of bullshit. I mean, from what I'm looking at, it looks like New Vegas sold almost 6 million copies.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah,
really,
it's kind of
really
shitty that
you already
screwed.
Have the tech. It's like that's you already have most of the assets. All you're basically doing is a new story, making some new, like you put in a new, you know, location. So they probably made a killing off that game.
Yeah, I don't get it, but it looks that way, and you know, it's like what I'm looking at right now doesn't, I don't think it counts downloads. So like there might be more Steam sales and shit like that. So
right.
You know, we can't really tell, but like physical copies, it looks like it sold like 5.8 million.
Right.
And that is not anything to shake a stick at. And
no, not
just
at
to
all.
Say,
they,
oh,
you know,
you
they
know,
made
our
money.
Our game sold 6 million copies, but you missed the Metacritic score by 1 point. So fuck you. You know, that sounds to me like a company that wants to hold on to their profit margin rather than reward their employees for hard work
but laying
and building
them off,
a successful
like,
product.
Now,
is this between not getting your bonus and laying people off?
Yeah, the layoffs came after, you know, they said that they canceled, Obsidian canceled a next generation project,
okay,
which is unnamed. But it was like codenamed North Carolina or something like that.
Yeah, and also people from the South Park
South
game
Park.
They're making right now.
Yeah,
that they also like lost a lot of jobs there.
What?
The conversation that we're having here is actually going back to what I was asking. You know, educate me on this. You know, why do you think it's? I see what you're saying. Like everybody's looking to scores, like Rotten Tomato, and they're saying, okay, I'm not going to watch this because it has a 50%. Because you never know, you may love that game because the things that these reviews say they hate, you may like, and I understand that. So that's a good point. I do think the idea of Metacritic on paper is brilliant, like a review score aggregate, like just the idea of it sounds like a good idea. You know,
yeah,
I like
sure.
the idea,
yeah.
but what it makes people do, I do agree with you guys. Yeah. That being said, talking about reviews, I had just recently kind of discovered the wonderment, the awesomeness that is Kotaku's reviews. Have you guys seen a review from Kotaku?
I don't.
I've been done with that site for years.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Now I want you to do something. I want you to just search for the latest review and check out their review, because I got to tell you, I don't think anybody can pull.
Well,
they
don't put a score on it though, right? They just do
not
it
necessarily
right on,
that. It's just the way it's explained. They do the best job in explaining you piece by piece. So let me just run you down like the outline of a Kotaku review. This one specifically is for MLB 12, the show.
Okay.
The way they review, there's an opening paragraph about, you know, just the game itself and everything. This is kind of like just their opening monologue, I guess. And then it breaks down to like top five or top things that you should know about this game, which is basically, you know, new features, you know, things that are like, you know, improvements
changed
in physics
or whatever.
Exactly. All right. So that goes into that. And then they have their, you know, their in summary, why, what they feel about this game and why. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then on the side, there's kind of like this little box area, and it's the only like essence of a score, and it goes by should you play this game, and it's yes or no, simple as that. Should you play this game? Yes. And it says yes for MLB show, should you play? Absolutely. And then right under it tells you why, and it explains in just like two or three sentences why you should play this game. And then of course there's like minor details about the developer, the publisher, the type of game, the genre. They have to go into what part of the game they played, so they can specifically tell you, okay, I played the couple of seasons, or I played some online and stuff like that. And then it breaks down the two favorite things and their two least favorite things. I mean, it's run down, it's clear, it's concise. They're not writing this like path that they went through as a writer, as a journalist. They just break it down for you. This is just how this game is, and it's just outlined right in front of your face. And I think it's one of the best looking reviews, and they do this for every big game. And it's one of the best reviews, outlines for a review that I've ever seen. Like, I'm actually somewhat jealous that these guys, like, kind of, maybe they didn't come up with it.
They definitely didn't come up with that.
No, they definitely didn't come up with it, but like to actually, you know, be a big site that actually uses it when everybody else is using letter grades and using the standard format. Like, mm-hmm. here, write 1,000 words on this game and give it a score.
Well, a magazine tried doing that years ago and it failed big time.
Right.
So that's the thing. I mean, like,
this
is
also in another age, too.
For sure.
The blogs
definitely.
Rule. But
it's also an age when Metacritic is the number one spot for people to check out game reviews because they want to see a number and a letter grade. Again, this could go through the whole hardcore gamer thing. That's awesome because it isn't necessarily giving a score. It's giving an actual detailed, like, synopsis of the game. But the majority of people out there probably don't go to Kotaku for the reviews.
Right. But regardless, like, you know, think what you want about Kotaku, that's fine, but give a couple of their reviews a shot. It's really good in the fact that it's informative. They do a good job of informing you of the facts of why you would like this game.
No,
that's really cool. Good, because it's not pure. It's not just pure opinion. I mean, there's opinion, of course, all over the place, but they do drop facts on you as well, which is really, really cool. So I mean, check it out. It's not too bad.
Cool.
I usually go by game trailers. They're the ones that usually, like, when I watch a game trailers review, if I turn around and play that game, I usually think to myself, yeah, I'd probably give it about the same.
They're the ones that
hit about the same amount.
I'd agree. And I honestly, I don't really read reviews too much anymore. I totally go on word of mouth and what I hear other shows say and stuff. So most of the time, I'm already decided if I'm buying a game before it comes out. Unless reviews overall are totally on one scale or the other, where I thought, you know, I was like, I really hyped for this game, it's going to be good, and then, oh, wow. Like, they happened with Syndicate. I was totally sold on Syndicate, and two things. Reviews kind of made me think, oh, maybe I'll wait on it, and the big thing was the majority of people I know who played the game told me, yeah, you might want to wait on it. It's decent, but you don't need it day one.
Yeah.
So.
Now, I'm just looking at this review. I'm just really impressed, guys. I don't mean to harp on this, but I'm just looking at it, and it's just to kind of like have the two favorite things and the two least favorite things, almost like a big ups or a big downs with their games.
That, like forever.
That's brilliant. Like, who would have thought of doing that? Seriously.
Yeah.
No one. Yeah.
All right, let's move to the next one.
Yeah.
This is one that I just pulled up. So I didn't tell you guys about this beforehand. Apparently, Phil Harrison has a new job.
Yes, he does.
He works for Microsoft now.
Oh.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I saw someone say on Twitter, Ben Howden say, hey, congratulations, Phil Harrison, on the new job, whatever.
I didn't see
what it was.
I didn't know anything about this either. It's actually quite shocking.
I just saw this. It hasn't been reported very much, I guess.
It's Molyneux's job, right? It's got to be Molyneux.
No, it's not. It just says, has confirmed as the corporate vice president of its interactive entertainment business.
Oh, wow. So
he will head up Xbox's European game development.
Oh, European. I was going to say, maybe he's going to be the guy who's going to be on
stage.
Maybe
he is taking his spot.
That's Molyneux's job. That's what he was. He was the head of...
I think that was Molyneux's job.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
CEO owned Harrison. Harrison role at Microsoft will be different than Molyneux.
Okay.
Oh,
so
okay.
I guess we'll see.
That's just weird.
Yeah,
that's
it says
really
Microsoft
weird.
Made it clear that the hiring had nothing to do with Peter Molyneux. So,
huh.
I don't know, but that's pretty cool. You know, I'm glad.
Hopefully,
that he's
it gets
back
him back
in
on the big stage.
Spot.
Yeah, I want to see him at E3.
I do too.
Cool.
That'd be cool. The best speaker that
there.
The industry has.
He's a pitch man. Basically.
He is for sure.
Hey, Diablo 3 has a date.
What?
Yeah.
2013.
May 15th, apparently.
Awesome.
It'll probably be delayed again, knowing them. But they did strip out the PvP stuff, but I don't know how much people were interested in that anyway.
I'm sure there's some people.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. Like the people
were down with that stuff.
Into that MMO PvP stuff, so. Yeah. But you know, it kind of makes me wonder, it's like, how bad was it that they stripped it out, you know?
I think they probably stripped it out because I think they wanted to be totally ready, and they just want to, like, let it go on people when it's actually, like, ready. Because apparently they had a lot of problems with, like, how shit worked and
the economy
and stuff, so, yeah.
That's what
oh,
I mean.
How
no,
bad, okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
How bad of shape was it that they had to stop it, so.
Knowing Blizzard, man, it could have been one off pixel, and they're like, oh, we got to fix it, or take it out, we can't
that
put it
texture's
out
wrong.
Yeah.
It's the wrong shade of green.
Can't do it.
Cool. Sega is apparently, well, I don't know, but apparently they have said that fans are, you know, asking about Shenmue and Skies of Arcadia ports.
Yeah.
And they haven't really confirmed anything, but they kind of hinted that they might be working on it. So I would love to see Skies of Arcadia come over. I think a lot of people missed out on that game because it was on the Dreamcast and the GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people that are into Japanese RPGs would love it. So
yeah,
It is my favorite RPG, after all.
That is right.
And now we're going to get to the biggest news. Of course.
Big news.
This is the biggest news for me, anyway. And this happened like the day after we recorded last week's show. Mm. So I was kind of upset that we didn't get to talk about it last week.
No.
But Phantasy Star Online 2 is coming to the PlayStation Vita.
You know what that means, people.
You're not
three
see Chris
whole months. That and 3 months of talking about PSO
3
online.
3 months of me talking about PSO 2. That is
Chris
right.
Chris is going to neglect his children.
Damn right. But no, I mean, I think this is really, really cool because they're bringing it to Vita, but it's not going to be until next year. But the PC version is coming out this year, and they're going to play together. There's going to be crossplay.
They're
going to
be
Vita and the PC.
That's amazing. That's pretty cool. I like that.
I think that is really cool. I'm glad they're doing that. But in reality, it's like, well, they actually did that with Phantasy Star Universe too, because Phantasy Star Universe played crossplay between PS2 and PC. The point where, like, the day that launched, I got both versions, and me and Crystal would both play together, and she would play on PC, and I would play on PS2.
But there's that portable factor, we've seen this before, and it's not that exciting, but just the thought that it's on a portable is pretty exciting. Like cross-game chat is not the newest thing on the block, but doing cross-game chat while I'm playing something on my Vita,
it is on a Sony console.
Well, here's another thing I'm going to throw at you guys. Here's another thing I'm going to throw at you guys. Think about it this way. The first game, the first Phantasy Star Online was over dial-up.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's over dude. I know. I played a shitload of that game.
I did too. So
you played a lot more than I did.
What I'm getting at is I would not be surprised if this actually worked with a 3G connection.
Hmm.
Online play with the 3G Vita. I would
not
be surprised.
Well, it depends how much more information it's putting over there. Because, I mean, PSO was pretty basic.
Yeah, PSO was very basic. You're right.
Yeah.
I guarantee you
probably won't have voice chat if you're doing 3G.
Oh, I would bet on that, yeah. So I just hope they have voice chat in general because, you know, the other Phantasy Star Online games did not.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, I mean, worst comes to worst if you're on... Well, I guess
The Xbox One had voice chat.
Yeah, Xbox, but that one was voice chat was built into the Xbox. So voice chat
you could do
Vita party chat and then jump into Phantasy Star, but I would like to be able to communicate with the people that I'm playing with on PC.
Gotcha.
So an internal a game
Skype
driven,
yo.
Yeah, well,
is Skype on Vita?
Not yet. It's supposed to be coming, but the question is will Skype work while you're playing a game?
Hey, they've done everything, most things like that right so far on the Vita, so maybe it will.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. But I thought that was pretty exciting news. I'm excited.
Cool. So.
That is cool.
I got one more.
Okay.
All right. So you guys...
Valkyria Chronicles 3.
I did order that, by the way.
Of course you did.
It's coming from Japan. It'll be here soon.
All you talk about are these games, Chris. Now, excuse me while I go look at my Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
I know, right? That I bought on both consoles.
Yes, I did.
So, you know, we all love our Mass Effect. Yes. There is apparently an anime for Mass Effect coming, and it is going to star the best character in the Mass Effect series. That's right.
So, Garrus?
No. It's going to start.
It's
going to
be Saren before
James
he became...
Vega, baby.
I don't even know who that is. But
he
okay.
is a large, beefhead, muscle-bound...
Oh, is that Freddie Prinze Jr.?
He's a big Rican. He's a big Rican.
He's a big Rican.
And he's got tattoos all over himself and
super it's a Freddie Prinze Jr. character.
It's a Freddie Prinze Jr. character.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's got a big tattoo right on the side of his neck that it says...
Who
gives a shit?
This
character sucks.
It's more Mass Effect. I'll dig it.
This character sucks.
It's more Mass Effect, like canon, like meat. I don't know. It's a comic, right?
No, it's a anime.
Oh, anime. Sorry, anime.
Mo Mass Effect is okay with me.
But you're not playing it.
Yeah, I probably won't have anything to do with this. So, just saying.
You say that now.
But if you buy the DVD, you get DLC for Mass Effect.
Of course
3.
You do, because you got to spend
that. And that guarantees you
100%
galaxy readiness. For sure. You have to watch the anime twice.
Oh, God.
And show it to three friends and have them log onto this website and put in a code, and then you get 100%.
And then they will stab you for making them watch it.
But then you have to tweet the link to the little code.
Yep.
But once it gets retweeted 22 times, then you get your DLC.
By different people.
By different people. Yeah, unique exactly. Unique retweets.
Yeah. what's this industry coming to?
You guys have any other news to talk about?
No.
A couple small things, actually.
Go for it.
Real small things. By the time the show releases on Monday, if Chris can get it out on time. By the time this releases on Monday.
I have that problem a lot.
Yeah, it's so funny because I'm the one that releases it late.
I wasn't going to say nothing, but.
Yeah, I feel like that Family Guy character that states the obvious.
You're a big fat phony.
Sorry. Oh, it's funny. It's funny because.
No, but by the time this releases on Monday, at noon on Monday, Telltale's going to be. We know it's coming out. The first episode is going to be releasing in April, but we're actually going to get a physical date and a price for the first episode of The Walking Dead video game by Telltale. And
I'm worried about that, man.
They released a little bit of a teaser trailer today. Uh-huh. Really promising looking stuff. It shows off the art style. Very
it's a point and click adventure. No?
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
See, we don't know. We haven't seen any video.
Yeah, we don't really know. But Jurassic Park looked good from the first trailers, too.
Yeah,
we
turned out sucking.
But Jurassic Park it was heavy rain. And this game clearly is not going to be like...
But you don't know that. We haven't seen any gameplay,
they came out and said it's going to be more... It's going to be less, like, contextual, like... like Jurassic Park was. You're going to have more control with these characters, and you know, during the action scenes, you will have control in those action scenes. But like the Walking Dead comic and the TV show, it's more about the exposition and the characters and basically humanity. You know, a lot of people bitch about the TV show, but they haven't read the comic books. So like, where's all the gore and the zombies? And it's not about that. The zombies are a backdrop, and it's about the people. And I think this game's going to focus on that. And if it does it well, I think the game will succeed. But we're going to get a firm date for that April release Monday with an actual gameplay trailer, which I'm really excited about.
Cool.
And then there was the other news item that I just completely forgot, so we'll just move on.
And you can come back to it after we do new releases.
Hey, why not?
Hit them up.
New releases for PS3. We are getting Silent Hill HD Collection, Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City, Ninja Gaiden 3, Armored Core 5, Warriors Orochi 3, maybe? I'm not sure if that's actually coming out, but we'll see. Rayman 3 HD, Ridge Racer Unbounded, and some DLC for Reckoning.
Okay.
Should be pretty cool. 360 is getting mostly the same stuff with the addition of some connectable shit. Sign Mora, which is going to be an XBLA game, and there's apparently a Nemesis mode download for Operation Raccoon City. I guess we'll see.
That was that big guy, right?
Yeah, Nemesis was the big guy. The only other thing worth noting coming out next week that I see, anyway, is Kid Icarus Uprising. So
Ninja Gaiden 3.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden's out. Yeah.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden 3 comes out next week. Zombie Slayer Diox comes out. It's a rhythm action game. I think it's going to be off the eShop on 3DS. So that is your new release list. So pick of the week.
If pick of the week would have to be Operation Raccoon City, with the caveat that I have people to play with, because apparently playing by yourself is boring.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's meant for multiplayer.
It's a multiplayer game, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going to get that game thinking of having like a single player Resident Evil experience,
Resident Evil,
and they're going to come out pretty disappointed.
Okay. I'll go with Ninja Gaiden 3. I'm still kind of skeptical about it, but I mean, it's, you know, I like the first two, so
you're cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, very.
I saw
very
some videos today, man.
Optimistic.
That game looks pretty fun.
Yeah, we'll see.
I gotta say though, the strategy guide, very very small.
Is it?
It's like that's
thin kill shit. Strategy guide.
Hit every page. It says kill shit.
Yeah,
yeah. It's that's
dodge and kill shit.
Hit square a bunch, hit triangle.
That's right.
There you go.
I am going to do the cautiously optimistic vote for Kid Icarus.
Yeah, see, I didn't even know that was coming out next week. That shows you how, I'm so out of touch with DS releases.
Hey, if it makes you feel better, I didn't know it was coming out next week either. I actually forgot it was March. I thought it was June for some reason.
So
that's your new releases. So, let's do... I think we got an email, right, Travis?
We do. It comes from Tor Eric Melkovic. He says, hi guys, I really like the gay episode, which is every week, basically. Surprise, no one mentioned Kane's Canem edit, also known as Bully. As far as I know, this was the first game with a gay option. It caused a bit of controversy back in the day. Remember it?
Yeah, you can kiss another boy in that game.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Well.
Yeah, I did too.
That's gross. Super gay.
I was wondering if you're going to break that out again.
Yeah. All right. Did you guys see the little Photoshop I did of the...
No, I didn't.
You didn't see that?
No.
I didn't either.
You said you were going to make it, and then you didn't.
Photoshopped the YouTube page that had
likes, dislikes.
Two likes, 18 dislikes, and 1,256 so gay. Yeah, I totally made that. It's funny.
Yeah, I totally missed that.
Yeah. Yep.
Was that the rest of his email? That was his email, basically?
That was it, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I guess, wow. Totally.
You are correct. We completely
forgot.
That
was a huge thing. Yeah. That is a very I remember that was one. Huge when that came out, too.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, my God.
Is he a first-time emailer? I think he might be.
The name doesn't ring a bell.
So thank you for emailing. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I do have a voicemail.
All right.
Should we do that up?
Yeah.
Why not?
I want to hear some sweet, sexy voices.
Hey, guys. It's Nabashin.
Or Nabashin.
I've been doing voicemails for anybody lately. So, yeah, I'm doing voicemails again, I guess, that you asked. And, hey, here I am.
Yay.
So, what up? Hey, I beat Mass Effect 3.
Hey,
pretty
cool.
Game. Romance Tally. Yeah, I did Keela Hercerai. What up? speaking of Mass Effect 3, God, man, when I played that game, like, it was like nothing but me and the game for like an entire weekend. It was just insane for me. And I haven't had that type of feeling in like the longest time. God, it was just, like, I got the game, like, on the midnight release, and then, like, well, Sora kind of had issues, but anyway, I got the game, and, an entire week has just been nothing but the game and that, and nothing else. Like, I sleep, play the game, I went to work, like, after, like, I took 2 days off to play the game. I didn't beat it after that, but, like, I went to work, came home, played the game some more, went to sleep, played the game some more, and it was like that for an entire week, and it's just like, I felt like so grimy and so nasty afterwards, but man, it was so fucking worth it.
You did take a shower in there somewhere, right?
I haven't had that kind of feeling since, Kingdom Hearts 2. Yeah, like every Kingdom Hearts game, I always do this, I pretty much buckle down on the game, but like, I Kingdom Hearts 2, that was just like nothing but the game and just me and yeah, I beat it in like 3 days, so yeah, wow. I love that game. But I just wanted to know, like, have you guys ever had like moments like that, just you in a game for like well over an extended period of time? I know Chris can't really do it anymore, due to life situations. Not that's a bad thing, but you know, I'm curious, like when was like the last time you really had like just you in the game, like nothing else, like more than a day or like up to a week, like maybe. But yeah, that's enough. I'll probably do some more voicemails since y'all are desperate for them, apparently. No. And yeah, I'm going back to play Mass Effect 3. Yeah. Bye.
Thank you, Nabashin. Have I had the feeling where it was just me in the game? Yes, absolutely. I still do. Mm-hmm. It's not like just because I have a kid, I don't play games anymore. It's still just like right now, it's like all I think about is you know.
I think it means like just get lost in it for like hours. Like you said, he literally played like the entire weekend, basically. Like that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't do that, but I mean, I do get into that zone where I start playing, and you know, I mean, I've been staying up late every day since the game came out because I just lose track of time, and you know, I usually go to bed between 11 and 12, and I'm up at 6 a.m. And now it's like I look at the clock and it's like, oh fuck, it's like 12:30, 1 o'clock. I need to go to bed. You know, so I mean, it still happens. You know, and the last one that it happened with is probably Skyrim. I mean, I got really deep into that one too. So
yeah,
I mean, it happens to me a lot with these games that really bring you into the world and that have like a really deep storyline or a lot of like side quests that you could do. And you know, it's Mass Effect 3 is that game, and it's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, no, yeah. Same.
I was like that with
It's like that Metal Gear Solid, the first one.
I was thinking Metal Gear Solid, more or less Metal Gear Solid 2 for me. Metal Gear Solid 2, man, I can't. I stayed up for a good decent amount of time. I think it was like 1.5 sittings, and that game was beat.
Wow.
I mean, that was that was almost like Mass Effect bad, because like with Mass Effect 3, I think I stayed up the first night till about 10 a.m. And I can't remember the last time I stayed up that late. So, you know, because it took me a while to get into Mass Effect 1. I'm not going to lie. It did take me some time. But Mass Effect 2, I was the same way.
Effect 1 has a much slower start than the others do.
Yeah, much slower start. You know, the Oblivions, the Skyrims, those are, you know, easily to get into. But like Uncharted 3 was a really prime example, because, you know, we got that for review. And I just like, I want to get this out because I want to have a review day one, you know, once the embargo lifts, I want a review out. And it turned from that into just me overnight, 3 o'clock in the morning, just in the world, in the game. Like, I was all about those characters. Like, I wasn't even thinking review. I was just like, I'm just so enthralled with what this game has to offer. So it's an awesome feeling. I think it's one of the best feelings, that a gamer can have. Like, just being, like, sucked into that world.
Yeah.
So, I love that.
Time fly by. Mm-hmm. My 2 days off of Street Fighter Cross Tekken, not an immersive game, to say the least, in terms of atmosphere and storytelling. But I put a lot of hours in those first two games. Like Navishin said, it's kind of gross, and I realized, I think it was, like, Friday afternoon, I was like, I have not showered since fucking, Wednesday morning. I'm like, this is disgusting. Yeah, I'm sitting there, it's like, playing online with, like, Captain Harlan 360, and he was, like, saying this because he, like, I don't know, he had, like, the day off or whatever. I'm like, I feel gross. You know what? I think I'm gonna stop playing. I need to go have a shower. This is just wrong. I feel bad for this couch. I've been on it like nonstop.
I smell my workout shoes, and I'm not even wearing shoes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, it's nasty. It's nasty.
That's nasty.
Yeah. Been there before, man. As of like last week.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I do have one more voicemail, but unfortunately I am not set up to play it right now, because I don't have my laptop, and this particular file type will not play on my phone. So I will have to save that for next week. But Zeke, I did get your voicemail, and we'll play it next week. So cool. Sorry about that, buddy.
Want to save in his questions for next week or the week
after?
Yeah,
let's save in his question for next week too. Let's build those up. And you know what? All right. Let's do, I kind of want to do a mailbag again. So, I mean, next week we're gonna do this week's question of the week, but let's do the following week. Let's do a mailbag.
Okay.
We'll do mailbag, and we'll do, you know, like extra indus questions, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So you guys, be ready for that. We'll announce it again on the next show. Mm-hmm. But,
just even if you don't, just send in any emails, any indus questions, but whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Send them in. You have 2 weeks, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. But for next week, the question of the week is, have you ever felt the need to defend your hobby? To defend gaming against people that make ignorant and irrational, like,
judgments
about
it. Yeah.
So that's the kind of topic we're looking for. You can send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's not lead, it's feet.
Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. And then follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
That is G-E-O-F-F.
Keep paying attention to the site. We've got more reviews that are coming soon. And I think that is about it. Oh, Facebook, Steam, and Google Plus. We are Interactive Distractions. Just search for us and you will find us. Drop by Retroids, check out our forums, and come and chat with us. We'd appreciate that too.
For real.
That's all I have.
Get
guys.
That shout box bumping.
Absolutely. You guys have anything
to add? I don't got anything to add. No, I don't think so.
Travis?
I just want to say, tell you guys I love you. I don't say it enough.
Man.
I love you guys.
Thanks.
Love you too, man.
Yeah, boop.
Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, please leave us a review.
5 stars!
So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Bye.
I promise I'll play Mass Effect.
You better.
Totally not.
Otherwise, you're fired.
That's fine. More time for Street Fighter.
Nice.